Welcome to today's deep dive. We are thrilled to have you with us.
Really glad you could join us today.
You know, when you picture the infrastructure powering this whole artificial intelligence revolution we're in, you probably picture something incredibly fortified.
Right, like a digital vault.
Exactly. You assume that when you spin up a highly sensitive AI workload, maybe it's your company's proprietary financial algorithms or unreleased strategy docs or even, confidential patient health records.
Yeah, they're really sensitive stuff.
Right, you put that in a major cloud data center and you assume your data, your prompts, your models are locked away, completely impenetrable, secured by the most advanced tech companies on the planet.
Which is a very logical assumption to make.
It is.
Yeah.
But what if that bedrock assumption is entirely wrong? What if the physical hardware itself, the actual silicon processing your data, is leaking your most closely guarded secrets to the tenant renting the space right next door?
It is a genuinely unsettling reality, and as we unpack the research today, we see it's much more than just a theoretical what-if scenario. We're looking at a fundamental architectural mismatch between what the hardware was originally built to do decades ago and what we are heavily relying on it to do right now in the era of cloud-based AI.
So our mission today is all about pulling back the curtain on the actual security of shared AI infrastructure. We are investigating a massive yawning gap between the secure isolation that cloud providers aggressively market and the rather alarming realities uncovered by cybersecurity researchers.
The gap is huge.
It really is. And to do this, we are looking at an incredible stack of sources for you. We have a comprehensive, highly detailed threat analysis paper covering hardware vulnerabilities discovered from 2018 right up to early 2026.
It's a heavy read, but incredibly thorough.
Very thorough. And complementing that, we have a brand new, incredibly timely presentation deck titled LLM Leakage via Shared Hardware. This deck was put together by Krister Hedfors, and it is dated exactly today, March 10, 2026.
The threat analysis basically gives us the rigorous academic and technical receipts. It tracks the evolution of these vulnerabilities over nearly a decade. And then the Hedfors presentation takes all of that complex research and synthesizes it into actionable strategic intelligence for anyone trying to navigate this landscape.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand how these leaks actually happen, we first have to define what Hedfors calls the shared hardware attacker model.
Yeah, that's crucial. In traditional cybersecurity, the focus is almost always on attackers hacking in from the outside.
Breaching firewalls, phishing.
Exactly. Finding open ports, tricking employees. But in the shared hardware model, the attacker is already inside the data center.
They're inside the house.
They are. For these specific types of attacks to work, the victim, which is you running your sensitive AI model and the attacker, just need to share one physical boundary.
And that shared boundary could just be a single physical graphics processing unit, a GPU, that's been sliced up to serve multiple customers, right?
Yes, or it could be the host machine, the actual server rack where different GPUs are plugged into the same motherboard.
Or even taking it further, right? It could just be a shared network switch in the data center.
Precisely. The attacker is essentially a malicious co-tenant. They rent server space from the exact same cloud provider you do, with the specific goal of getting physically close to your hardware.
And once they share that boundary, they exploit the hardware's inherent design flaws, which goes back to that DNA mismatch you mentioned.
Right. The architectural DNA of a GPU is fundamentally different from a traditional CPU. Central processing units have spent the last 40 years evolving complex security features.
Privilege rings, memory isolation.
All of that. Robust virtualization support. Because they were built to run operating systems where multiple, potentially adversarial applications have to coexist safely.
Like your web browser and your banking app running at the same time.
Exactly. But GPUs were fundamentally designed for massive data throughput.
Raw speed.
Just raw speed. For years, a GPU had one job: take a massive block of data, process it in parallel across thousands of cores, and spit it out to render video game graphics as fast as physically possible.
So multi-tenant security was literally never part of that original blueprint. It's essentially like buying a Formula One race car and then being surprised that it doesn't have, child safety locks or airbags.
That is a great way to put it. It was built purely for speed, and now we're using it to process the world's most sensitive corporate data.
And that emphasis on raw throughput over isolation is at the root of almost every single vulnerability we're going to explore. So let's start by looking at the ghosts in the machine. The concept of memory residue and a landmark vulnerability called leftover locals.
Memory residue is arguably the most intuitive of all the hardware vulnerabilities to understand, but it remains incredibly devastating in practice.
Because in a CPU-driven world, the operating system is generally very diligent about cleaning up.
Right. Very diligent. When one program finishes using a block of memory, the system zeroes it out. It scrubs it completely clean before handing that same block of memory to the next program.
So program B can't see what program A was doing.
Exactly. But GPUs, because of that architectural DNA prioritizing raw speed, do not automatically scrub their memory between tasks.
I was thinking about this, and it's essentially like renting a high-end, expensive hotel conference room by the hour for a confidential board meeting.
Okay, I like this analogy.
You walk into the room, ready to discuss a secret corporate merger, but the previous group's sensitive financial documents, their printed emails, their strategy whiteboards, are just left spread all over the desk.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
The hotel didn't clean the room between reservations because it takes too much time, and they want to turn the room over instantly to make more money. On a microscopic level, that is what happens with GPU memory in a cloud environment. The data just sits there in the silicon.
It just sits there. The memory is only incidentally cleared as a side effect of other processes. It might get overwritten if the new user happens to need that exact physical space, or it might get cleared during routine error correction.
But not for security.
Never explicitly for security purposes. The hardware simply doesn't care who used the memory last or who is using it next. Erased memory takes precious clock cycles, and in the GPU world, time is the enemy of throughput.
Which brings us to leftover locals, formally designated as CVE-2023-4969. This was a massive discovery disclosed by researchers Tyler Sorensen and Heidi Clough at the cybersecurity firm Trail of Bits back in January 2024.
And they targeted what's called GPU local memory.
Right. Can you explain what that is for the listener?
Sure. Local memory is a highly optimized on-chip scratch pad that the GPU uses for its most intensive, immediate calculations. It's much faster than the main global memory, so developers use it to store the data the GPU needs right this second.
And the Trail of Bits researchers proved that this scratch pad was absolutely not being zeroed out between different kernel executions.
Exactly. And a kernel execution is just a specific compute task sent to the GPU. So if different users are running code on the same GPU, they are sharing that unscrubbed scratch pad.
The mechanics of this exploit are shockingly simple. You know, when we hear about major cybersecurity breaches, we usually imagine nation-state hackers writing thousands of lines of incredibly complex, obfuscated code.
Right, some massive zero-day exploit.
Exactly. But for leftover locals, the attacker needs only about 10 lines of OpenCL code.
It's wild. OpenCL is just a standard framework used to write programs that run on GPUs. Those 10 lines essentially just ask the GPU to read whatever is currently sitting in the local memory and print it out to the screen.
But it's just 10 lines. The sheer triviality of the exploit makes it exceptionally dangerous.
You don't need deep reverse engineering skills.
Yeah.
If you have the basic permissions to run compute tasks on a shared GPU instance, you can run those 10 lines of code.
And the researchers quantified the impact in a very real-world scenario. They ran a test on an AMD Radeon RX 7900 XT graphics card.
Which is a very powerful piece of hardware.
Right. They had a victim process running a standard 7 billion parameter large language model. They specifically used Llama.cpp, which is a very popular, highly optimized open source framework designed to run LLMs efficiently.
And while the victim was querying the model, the attacker ran their 10-line code.
The result was the recovery of roughly 181 megabytes of data per LLM query. So let's put that 181 megabytes into perspective for you. In the world of plain text, 181 megabytes is an astronomical amount of data.
It is literally millions of words.
Millions. The threat analysis explicitly states that this is enough data to reconstruct full conversational responses in real time.
In real time.
So what does this all mean? If you are a company querying an LLM in the cloud with sensitive financial projections, or a healthcare provider feeding patient symptoms into a diagnostic AI, the malicious tenant sharing your GPU can literally eavesdrop on the output as it is being generated.
They can read the exact words the AI is sending back to you.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
But we should be precise about which hardware was vulnerable to this specific local memory leak, right?
Yes. The researchers tested a wide array of chips. Interestingly, NVIDIA GPUs, which dominate the high-end data center and enterprise market, were confirmed to be immune to leftover locals.
Oh, that's good news for a lot of enterprise users.
It is, but a massive portion of the broader ecosystem was still affected. GPUs from AMD, Apple, Qualcomm, and Imagination were all found to be vulnerable.
And when researchers prove your chips are leaving user data out in the open like that, the vendor response is always a very delicate balancing act between security and marketing.
It really is. AMD did release a mitigation. They pushed out a secure compute mode in May 2024.
But here's the kicker. It goes right back to that fundamental tension between security and performance. They shipped this secure compute mode disabled by default.
Yes. You, the user, have to actively dig into the settings and turn it on.
Because turning it on forces the GPU to scrub its memory, and scrubbing memory introduces a measurable performance penalty.
Exactly. In a market where benchmark speeds dictate sales and stock prices, hardware vendors are incredibly reluctant to enable any feature by default that slows the chip down.
So the burden is placed entirely on the customer. The user has to be aware the vulnerability exists, understand the severity of the risk, and make the active, conscious choice to sacrifice computing speed for security.
And historically, we know that very few cloud customers are digging into the BIOS-level settings of their rented GPUs to toggle secure compute modes. They expect the platform to be secure out of the box.
What's wild to me is that this isn't even a new phenomenon. The sources provide this fascinating historical context, showing the industry has known about this fundamental architectural flaw for over a decade.
Yeah, leftover locals made headlines in 2024, but the threat analysis cites a paper from 2013 by Roberto Di Pietro and his team called CIDO Leaks.
2013.
Over a decade ago, that paper proved NVIDIA GPU global memory retained data between process context switches. Then in 2014, researchers at Yearcom proved this data persistence happened even in heavily virtualized cloud environments.
And by 2016, another academic team demonstrated that they could recover raw rendering data, cryptographic keys, and even machine learning model weights directly from leftover GPU memory.
The industry has been aware since at least 2013 that GPU memory is effectively a sieve in a shared environment. But because AI wasn't a trillion-dollar enterprise cloud industry back in 2013, the problem was largely treated as an academic curiosity rather than a five-alarm fire.
Right. It was mostly researchers playing with graphics rendering data.
Exactly. Now that we are processing the world's most valuable intellectual property on these exact same underlying architectures, those decade-old design decisions are manifesting as critical vulnerabilities.
But cloud providers definitely know this. They aren't just selling us raw, unpartitioned GPUs and crossing their fingers.
No, they have virtualization software.
Right. They have hypervisors. They have technology designed specifically to take one massive GPU and safely slice it up into secure, isolated compartments.
Yes. And if you look at the marketing materials from major cloud providers, when they sell you shared access to top-tier NVIDIA chips like the A100 or the newer H100, they heavily promote a technology called multi-instance GPU, or MIG.
And NVIDIA's own documentation claims that MIG provides full isolation of the entire GPU memory system. It sounds bulletproof.
What's fascinating here is how the academic security community systematically proved that statement to be factually incorrect.
I love when researchers do that.
It's incredible work. The promise of MIG is that it takes a massive GPU and carves it up into up to 7 separate isolated instances.
Okay.
The idea is that each instance gets its own dedicated compute cores, its own dedicated slice of memory, and its own dedicated cache. From the perspective of the software running inside it, it looks like you have a completely private standalone GPU.
But the walls of those separate compartments aren't thick enough, are they?
Not at all. In 2023, a group of researchers presented a paper in an ACM conference on computer and communication security titled Tunnels for Bootlegging.
Great name.
Very catchy. They bypassed the high-level marketing and reverse-engineered the actual silicon architecture of NVIDIA's GPU memory management system. Specifically, they targeted the TLB hierarchy.
The TLB, the translation look-aside buffer. Can you break down why that's so vital?
Absolutely. The TLB is vital for performance. Modern software uses virtual memory addresses, but the hardware needs to know the actual physical location of the data on the silicon chip.
Right.
The TLB is an incredibly fast, ultra-efficient address book that instantly translates that virtual address into a physical address. Without it, the GPU would slow to a crawl, constantly searching for where it put things.
And the Tunnels for Bootlegging researchers discovered the Achilles heel of MIG right inside that address book.
Yes. While MIG successfully partitions the physical memory itself, and it partitions the initial smaller levels of the TLB, it does not partition the very last level of the TLB. That final largest address book is shared across every single MIG instance on the entire chip.
It's essentially like building individual soundproof apartments. but leaving all the air conditioning vents connected to one central unpartitioned duct system. Sound still travels.
Sound travels perfectly. Because that last level TLB is shared, an attacker sitting in one MIG instance can quietly observe the behavior of the TLB.
How does that work in practice?
Well, the TLB has a limited capacity. If the TLB is suddenly full and kicking out the attacker's own memory entries, the attacker knows that the victim in the neighboring instance is doing something highly memory intensive.
Okay, that makes sense.
By carefully monitoring these tiny timing variations, measuring exactly how many clock cycles it takes for the TLB to respond, the attacker can infer the memory access patterns of the victim.
And the researchers used this shared TLB to construct a covert channel.
Mm.
They were able to transmit data across the supposedly impenetrable MIG isolation boundaries at a rate of 31 kilobits per second.
With 99.8% accuracy.
99.8%. And they proved this worked on A100 GPUs operating inside a live commercial cloud environment. They didn't just transmit random data either. They were able to fingerprint applications.
Yes, they could accurately identify exactly which deep neural network the victim was training just by watching the metadata of the memory lookups.
But the discoveries didn't stop there. The sources detail a paper from Penn State in 2024 called Veiled Pathways.
Right. They proved that the TLB isn't the only shared resource failing to respect MIG boundaries. They found that hardware engines used for video decoding and encoding the NVDEC and NVENC engines are shared across instances.
Wait, really? Even those are shared?
Yes. And the dynamic voltage and frequency scaling, the system that manages the chip's power and clock speed, is shared. Even the PCIe bandwidth, the physical pipe connecting the GPU to the rest of the server, is shared.
So basically, every single one of these shared resources represents a pathway for a side-channel attack.
Every single one.
So for you listening, if your company's security policy relies on NVIDIA's MIG to separate your highly sensitive proprietary data from an external contractor or just the general public in a cloud environment, you need to seriously recalibrate your risk assessment.
Definitely. MIG is fantastic for preventing accidental interference. It drastically reduces your blast radius. It stops a buggy, poorly written program in one instance from crashing the whole chip.
Right. But against a dedicated malicious attacker looking to steal information, the isolation is absolutely not bulletproof. The internal partitions of the GPU are failing.
And it gets worse when we look at how these GPUs talk to each other. We need to examine the physical plumbing. NVLink, PCIe buses, and cluster-level networks.
Because modern AI, especially training massive foundation models, requires an unimaginable amount of computational power. You cannot fit a trillion-parameter model on one GPU.
Not even close. You need hundreds or sometimes tens of thousands of GPUs all working together in perfect synchronization.
And to achieve that, they need massive data pipes to communicate. In the NVIDIA ecosystem, that specialized pipe is called NVLink. It allows GPUs to talk to each other at hundreds of gigabytes per second, bypassing traditional motherboard limits.
But the threat analysis points out that this high bandwidth interconnect creates entirely novel attack channels. Because NVLink allows GPUs to share memory spaces directly, an attacker sitting on one physical GPU can observe and, in some cases, influence workloads running on entirely separate physical GPUs.
In the exact same server rack, we're talking about attacks that jump across physical chips.
Yes. The primary example in the sources is the NVBleed attack, published in March 2025.
And what did the NVBleed researchers find?
They reverse engineered how NVLink operates and found two major sources of information leakage. The first was timing variations from congestion on the link itself. If the pipe is full of the victim's data, the attacker's data moves slower.
Simple physics of data transfer.
Right. The second and more severe leak came from user-accessible performance counters.
Performance counters, what are those?
They are essentially built-in diagnostic tools that let software monitor how much data is flowing over the NVLink. They're intended for legitimate performance tuning by system administrators.
But to an attacker, they are a gold mine of surveillance data. By monitoring these performance counters, the NVBleed researchers built a covert channel exceeding 70 kilobits per second.
Yes, and they were able to fingerprint 18 different high-performance computing and deep learning applications with an accuracy approaching 98%.
And the absolute jaw-dropping detail from the source material is that this NVBleed attack wasn't just demonstrated between two basic processes on a bare metal server. It was demonstrated cross-VM on the Google Cloud platform.
The cross-VM aspect is the critical detail. The attacker and the victim were in completely separate virtual machines.
And for decades, the virtual machine has been the gold standard of cloud isolation.
It is supposed to be an ironclad boundary managed by the hypervisor. But because the underlying physical hardware, the NVLink connecting the physical GPUs assigned to those VMs, was shared, the virtual machine boundary did not stop the hardware level leakage.
The surveillance went right underneath the virtual walls. And NVLink isn't the only leaky pipe. There's also the PCIe bus, the Peripheral Component Interconnect Express.
The foundational highway on the motherboard that connects the CPU to the GPU.
Exactly. Every time you send a prompt to an AI, it goes through the CPU, over the PCIe bus, and into the GPU.
Right.
The threat analysis highlights a massive, glaring vulnerability here. In most current data center deployments, the data traveling across the PCIe bus is entirely unencrypted.
It is transmitted in plain text.
Plain text. In 2026.
I know. Every prompt, every conversational response, every proprietary model weight flowing from the CPU's memory into the GPU passes over this bus in a perfectly readable format.
And this architectural reality enabled what researchers call the Hermes attack. The Hermes attackers didn't bother trying to hack the memory or bypass MIG isolation. They simply snooped the traffic directly on the PCIe bus.
And by passively listening to this unencrypted data flow, they were able to completely reconstruct a victim's proprietary neural network.
Completely reconstruct it.
Completely. I'm talking about stealing the entire architecture, all the complex hyperparameters, and all the exact mathematical weights. They achieved 100% lossless inference accuracy. It was a perfect, pristine clone of the stolen model.
It's the equivalent of tapping the phone line outside the building. You don't need to break into the bank vault if you can just intercept the armored car while it's driving down the public highway.
Exactly. And this vulnerability scales up immensely when we look at the cluster level. In a massive AI training cluster, having data pass through the CPU every time it needs to go from one server to another creates a massive bottleneck.
Right. Because the CPU can't keep up.
So to solve this, the industry uses RDMA, or Remote Direct Memory Access. RDMA allows a specialized network interface card on server A to directly read or write to the memory of server B.
Completely bypassing server B's operating system and CPU.
Yes. It is built for pure, unadulterated speed.
But when you bypass the operating system, you also bypass the operating system's security checks and firewalls.
Which leads to huge problems. The threat analysis outlines several devastating attacks exploiting RDMA. There is the Netcat attack, which exploited a feature called Intel Data Direct I/O.
Right.
By sending carefully crafted RDMA packets from a remote machine, attackers were able to monitor the victim's network activity by analyzing cache timings, to the point where they could extract the exact timing of SSH keystrokes from a completely different server.
Unbelievable. And there was also the Redmark attack, right, which focused on InfiniBand.
Yes, InfiniBand is the ultra-high-speed networking protocol used in almost all top-tier AI supercomputers. The researchers found fundamental weaknesses in how InfiniBand network cards generate cryptographic keys.
And by exploiting this poor key generation, an attacker could potentially impersonate legitimate nodes, inject malicious packets, and gain unauthorized access to remote GPU memory regions.
Exactly. An attacker does not even need to be on the same physical server as you anymore. Through vulnerabilities in RDMA and InfiniBand, a malicious tenant somewhere else in the exact same massive data center cluster can potentially reach across the network fabric, bypass your CPU, and extract data directly from your GPU's memory.
So the plumbing itself is inherently untrustworthy.
Completely untrustworthy.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about hardware architecture. Memory caches, PCIe buses, physical network cables. But none of this exists in a vacuum. It all relies on software to run, manage, and scale the AI workloads.
Right.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because side channels and timing attacks take a high degree of technical skill. They require sophisticated reverse engineering. But sometimes the front door is just left wide open by buggy software. Let's talk about container escapes.
This is where the academic theory hits the brutal reality of production software engineering. In the cloud, to make AI scalable and manageable, nobody is logging into a raw Linux terminal and running Python scripts manually.
No, everything is containerized. Platforms like Docker and Kubernetes are used to package the AI model, its dependencies, and its runtime environment into a neat, standardized box called a container.
And cloud providers rely heavily on these containers to provide tenant isolation. The idea is that your code is locked inside your container, and their code is locked inside their container, so even if you share a GPU, everything is fine.
But to allow a software container to access the physical GPU hardware, you need a specialized software bridge. In the NVIDIA ecosystem, this is the NVIDIA Container Toolkit.
Right. It translates the container's requests into commands the underlying GPU drivers understand.
And that bridge has proven to be incredibly fragile.
Incredibly. The threat analysis details a string of absolute nightmare vulnerabilities in this toolkit. We are talking about CVSS 9.0 critical vulnerabilities.
And for those who don't know, the common vulnerability scoring system goes up to 10. A 9.0 means the vulnerability is catastrophic.
Trivially easy to exploit and requires immediate emergency patching. The most glaring example highlighted in our sources is NVidiaScape, tracked as CVE-2025-23266.
Which was demonstrated live on stage, right? At the Pwn2own hacking competition in Berlin in May 2025 by Wiz Research.
Yes. They found a misconfiguration in how the container toolkit handled certain software hooks, and they didn't need a complex timing-based side channel to exploit it. They achieved a full container escape, gaining root-level access to the underlying host machine using a Docker file that was just 3 lines long.
3 lines of text. To completely shatter the container boundary, take over the host operating system, and essentially gain the ability to copy the victim's data directly from memory.
If you are an attacker, why would you spend months reverse engineering a TLB side channel to extract 31 kilobits a second when you can just write 3 lines of code, compromise the host server, and steal everything instantly?
It renders all the sophisticated hardware isolation completely moot. If the software bridge fails, the game is over.
Game over. And the sources list actual, devastating, real-world consequences. This isn't just researchers showing off on stage. Major platforms have suffered from cross-tenant breaches due to these exact types of container and virtualization flaws.
Right. Replicate, which is a massive platform for hosting and running open-source AI models, was compromised because a misconfiguration allowed cross-tenant access to a shared Redis server, exposing sensitive data.
SAP AI Core suffered a breach that gave attackers full cross-tenant access to highly sensitive AWS storage buckets.
And even Hugging Face experienced a massive wake-up call. Hugging Face is arguably the central hub of the open-source AI community. They offer a feature called Spaces, which allows users to build and host machine learning demos inside Docker containers.
And attackers discovered a container escape vulnerability that allowed them to break out of their isolated space and access the underlying host node.
From there, they could potentially access the secrets, API keys, and private models of other customers sharing that host.
These real-world breaches highlight an underlying philosophy that Krister Hedfirst points out in his presentation. Cloud AI service providers are inherently more vulnerable than standard software-as-a-service platforms.
Think about a traditional SaaS app like Salesforce or a cloud-based accounting tool. You're interacting with their software through a very constrained, heavily sanitized web interface. You click buttons, you fill out text fields.
But an AI hosting platform, their entire business model is allowing users to upload and execute massive, complex machine learning models. You are literally handing them a black box of complex mathematics and saying, run this on your server.
Allowing a user to run an AI model is fundamentally allowing them to execute arbitrary code on your infrastructure.
Exactly. You are giving the attacker a direct pipeline to the compute core. Securing arbitrary code execution in a multi-tenant environment is one of the hardest problems in computer science.
And when the toolkits managing that execution have 3-line escape vulnerabilities, relying solely on container boundaries for your crown jewel data is a recipe for disaster.
Total disaster.
Okay. Up to this point in our deep dive, we have been focused almost entirely on confidentiality. We've explored eavesdropping, spying, and stealing data. But what about integrity?
Yes.
What if the attacker doesn't just want to read your data? What if they want to destroy it or subtly alter it to make your AI fail? We need to look at the integrity threat of GPU Hammer.
This represents a terrifying escalation in the threat landscape. For years, the security community has known about a physical vulnerability in CPU memory called RoHammer.
Right. Traditional DRAM memory chips are made of microscopic capacitors arranged in a massive grid of rows and columns. They hold tiny electrical charges representing ones and zeros.
And because these chips have become so incredibly dense to hold more data, the rows are packed incredibly close together.
So if an attacker rapidly and repeatedly accesses or hammers a specific row of memory, the intense electromagnetic activity can cause the electrical charge to leak into the physically adjacent rows.
Right. If you hammer it fast enough, you can actually cause a bit in the neighboring row to flip from a 0 to a 1 or a 1 to a 0. And you can do this without having any software permission to access that neighboring row.
It is a purely physical phenomenon. It's like banging on the wall of your apartment so hard that the vibrations cause the painting to fall off the wall in your neighbor's apartment.
That's a perfect visualization. For years, researchers thought this was only a problem for standard CPU memory. GPUs use different, highly specialized memory types, like GDDR6, which operate at much higher frequencies and have different internal architectures.
It was widely assumed they were immune to RoHammer.
Yes, but in 2025, at the UC Nix Security Symposium, researchers from the University of Toronto presented GPU Hammer. This was the first successful, proven RoHammer attack on discrete GPU memory.
And they pulled it off on an NVIDIA RTX A6000, which is a very high-end workstation card, heavily used in AI research and smaller cloud deployments.
The researchers had to painstakingly reverse engineer NVIDIA's proprietary closed-source memory mappings to figure out exactly which virtual software addresses corresponded to physically adjacent rows on the silicon.
But once they mapped it out, they bypassed all the internal mitigations and successfully caused bit flips across multiple memory banks.
And the impact of a bit flip on an AI model is where this becomes truly catastrophic. When you flip a bit in a standard text document, maybe the letter A turns into a C. It's a typo. You can still read the document.
Right.
But AI models represent their knowledge as massive arrays of floating point numbers, often in a 16-bit format called FP16. This format uses the IEEE 754 standard, which allocates specific bits to represent the sign, the exponent, and the fraction of a number.
If you flip the wrong bit in one of those numbers, the math breaks violently.
The researchers demonstrated exactly this. They targeted the exponent's most significant bit, or MSB, of a specific weight in an image recognition model trained on the standard ImageNet dataset.
And the MSB determines the overall magnitude of the number. By flipping just that single bit, they changed a tiny precise mathematical value into a massive, incorrect outlier.
The result was stunning. The model's accuracy dropped from a highly capable 80% to a completely useless 0.1%.
Wow.
One single microscopic physical bit flip destroyed the entire model's capability. The researchers aptly named this effect terminal brain damage.
Terminal brain damage. Imagine you are a financial institution using an AI model to detect fraudulent transactions. A malicious co-tenant on your shared GPU platform executes a GPU hammer attack, subtly flipping bits in your model's weights.
Your model doesn't crash. It doesn't throw a software error. It just silently goes insane.
It starts approving fraudulent transactions or blocking legitimate ones, and you have absolutely no idea why, because the software logs show nothing wrong. The hardware itself was physically manipulated. So how do we stop it? The primary mitigation is hardware-based, error correction code, or ECC memory. ECC adds extra bits to the memory architecture that constantly monitor for and automatically correct these random single bit flips.
When NVIDIA acknowledged the GPU hammer attack in a security notice, their explicit recommendation was to enable ECC. It stops the attack dead in its tracks.
But as with everything we've discussed, there is a massive catch.
Always a catch. ECC requires extra processing power to calculate the checksums and extra physical memory to store the correction codes. Enabling ECC costs about 10% in inference speed, and it eats up 6.25% of your total available memory capacity.
In the AI world, memory capacity is the most precious resource there is. Losing over 6% is a massive blow to efficiency.
Furthermore, there is a massive hardware divide. The flagship data center GPUs, like the NVIDIA Hopper and Blackwell architectures, use advanced high bandwidth memory, or HBM, which has ECC enabled by default. In fact, HBM memory showed no bit flips during the GPU hammer testing.
But consumer-grade GPUs, like the RTX 4090 or the A6000 they tested on, typically do not have ECC enabled, or they lack full ECC support entirely.
And these consumer chips are heavily used by startups, researchers, and smaller cloud providers because the top-tier data center chips are simply too expensive or impossible to acquire due to supply shortages.
If you are running sensitive inference on those cheaper, shared consumer-tier clouds, you are physically vulnerable to data corruption. It's the classic security versus cost dilemma. You can have it cheap, fast, or secure, but you rarely get all three.
So true. But let's pull the camera way back. We've been hyper-focused on the data center, assuming the attacker's in the server rack with us, renting space on the same GPU.
Right.
But what if they aren't? What if they are sitting in an office halfway across the world? We need to look at remote observation, specifically network timing and CPU flaws.
This is a newer, incredibly elegant class of attacks that requires absolutely no co-location. The attacker doesn't need to rent space on your cloud provider. They just need to be able to observe the network traffic flowing between the cloud and the end user over the public internet.
You might assume that because all of that traffic is encrypted over HTTPS, you are safe. The attacker can't read the data packets.
Right, but they don't need to read the contents. They just need to measure the timing of the packets. In the world of modern large language models, timing is a fingerprint. This was detailed in a fascinating paper from early 2025 called Wiretapping LLMs.
It comes down to a performance optimization technique used by almost all major AI providers called speculative decoding.
How does that work?
Well, generating words or tokens one by one is computationally slow. To speed things up, the AI uses a smaller, faster draft model to guess the next few words. Then, the massive, slower main model checks those guesses. If the draft model was right, the system spits out a whole burst of tokens all at once over the network. If the draft model was wrong, it rejects them and calculates the correct words slowly.
So some words come out in fast bursts, and some come out slowly. And the probability of the AI guessing correctly depends entirely on the structure of the language being spoken.
Because different languages have different grammatical structures, vocabulary predictability, and average token length, this speculative decoding process creates highly distinct microscopic timing variations between the encrypted packets being sent over the network. The attacker just watches the rhythm of the packets.
And the accuracy is terrifying. By analyzing these tiny inter-packet timing patterns over a standard encrypted HTTPS connection, attackers can identify the language being spoken with 77% to 83% accuracy.
And for certain structurally distinct languages, like Chinese, Russian, Korean, and Arabic, the identification accuracy is near 100%.
The sources confirm this works against commercial, production-grade services like OpenAI's GPT-4o. You could be a dissident in an authoritarian regime querying a secure AI over an encrypted connection, and your local internet service provider, just by watching the timing of the encrypted packets, can know with near certainty that you are conversing in a specific language. It is an incredible metadata leak.
Complex optimization creates side channels. Speculative decoding makes the AI much faster for the user, but it creates a recognizable timing footprint on the network.
And it is not just the network protocols that are complex and leaky.
Yeah.
We also have to remember that GPUs do not operate independently.
Okay.
Every single GPU server relies on a traditional CPU to feed it data, manage the operating system, run the hypervisor, and handle the network requests.
The GPU is the massive engine, but the CPU is still the steering wheel and the fuel pump.
Yeah.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, our sources list a barrage of absolute nightmare vulnerabilities hitting those CPUs between 2023 and 2025. The acceleration of CPU microarchitectural flaws is staggering.
We saw a downfall affecting millions of Intel processors, leaking data from the AVX instructions, which were heavily used in AI mathematics. We saw inception affecting almost every generation of AMD EPYC processors used in data centers, exploiting branch prediction to leak data.
Then there was the May 2025 release of Training Solo, which broke Intel's built-in memory protections and leaked kernel memory at 17 kilobytes per second.
Not to mention VMscape in late 2025, which exploited branch predictors to execute cross-VM attacks on both Intel and AMD hardware.
If an attacker can't find a way to leak data out of the GPU directly, they will just target the CPU that is managing the GPU. They'll target the PCIe bus, the NVLink, the RDMA network, or the container runtime. The attack surface isn't just a single point, it is the entire multi-layered stack of hardware and software.
So if the hardware is this inherently leaky and the software boundaries are this fragile, how on earth is the industry fighting back? What is the proposed silver bullet?
That brings us to confidential computing.
Confidential computing, or CC, is the industry's massive coordinated bet on the future of secure cloud infrastructure. It is the proposed solution to almost everything we have discussed today.
The fundamental idea is to change whom you have to trust. Instead of trusting the cloud provider's hypervisor or the container runtime or the server's operating system, you rely on specialized, physically isolated, secure enclaves built directly into the silicon itself.
NVIDIA has gone all in on this with their latest generations of chips. Confidential computing is a marquee feature on the H100 Hopper architecture, and it has advanced significantly in the newer Blackwell architecture.
They have introduced a hardware root of trust right on the silicon die. They enforce AES-GCM 256-bit encryption for all data transfers between the CPU and the GPU over the PCIe bus.
That completely kills the Hermes attack we discussed earlier, where attackers reconstructed models by snooping plaintext data on the bus.
Furthermore, the Blackwell architecture introduces TEIO, which stands for Trusted Execution Environment Input-Output. This allows for hardware-encrypted, direct communication from the GPU straight into a secure virtual machine, completely bypassing the software bounce buffers that were previously vulnerable to container escapes and OS-level exploits.
They are even implementing encrypted NVLink, so multi-GPU clusters can operate securely without leaking data via performance counters. It is a massive engineering achievement, and major players like Azure and Google Cloud are actively deploying it.
But confidential computing is not a magic wand. It is a highly complex orchestration of cryptography that relies on a massive chain of dependencies. And if any link in that chain breaks, the whole system collapses.
And researchers have already proven that those links are breaking. The sources detail several devastating attacks against the underlying foundations of confidential computing. Look at the TFeil attack from October 2025.
Right. Researchers from Georgia Tech and Purdue demonstrated a physical memory bus interposition attack on DDR5 memory that successfully forged attestation reports.
Attestation is the critical cryptographic proof that your secure enclave is actually secure and running the correct code. If you can forge that attestation report, you can trick the user into sending their highly sensitive data to a compromised machine, believing it to be a secure enclave.
And we also have to look at the CPU dependencies. NVIDIA's confidential computing relies heavily on the CPU's own secure enclaves technologies like AMD's SEV, SNP, or Intel's TDX to bootstrap the secure environment.
And those CPU technologies have been hammered by vulnerabilities. The sources highlight RMPocalypse, a vulnerability discovered by ETH Zurich in 2025.
They found that a single specific 8-byte write during the AMD secure processor initialization completely compromises all integrity guarantees of the SEV-SNP system with a 100% success rate.
One tiny memory error destroys the whole fortress. Yeah. Then there was Heracles, also from ETH Zurich, which used a chosen plaintext attack to leak passwords directly out of an AMD SEV-SNP enclave in just 6.5 seconds.
If the CPU's secure environment is compromised, the GPU's secure environment, which depends on it, is fundamentally undermined.
But the threat analysis points to an even deeper, more philosophical flaw with confidential computing. It comes down to firmware. To establish this secure hardware root of trust, NVIDIA uses encrypted, digitally signed firmware.
But that entire GPU firmware stack is completely proprietary and closed source. It is a black box. The cybersecurity community, independent auditors, and even the massive cloud providers themselves cannot inspect the code to verify it is actually secure. It is entirely unauditable.
Furthermore, the attestation chain, the process of mathematically proving the hardware is authentic to the end user, relies on NVIDIA's own remote attestation servers. You have to phone home to NVIDIA to verify your security.
The sources, quote, a security CEO who perfectly summarizes the paradox here, quote, attestation demands trust with the cloud provider, which in many ways beats the purpose of confidential computing.
The whole marketing pitch of confidential computing was zero trust. You don't have to trust the cloud provider anymore. You just trust the math. But the reality is you aren't eliminating trust. You are just shifting it.
You are shifting your blind trust from Amazon, Google, or Microsoft and placing it entirely on NVIDIA's closed-source firmware engineering team.
If there is a backdoor, a severe bug, or a supply chain compromise in that firmware, which, as the Jellyfish Rootkit proof of concept from 2015 showed, is entirely possible to hide in GPU architecture, all your confidential computing guarantees evaporate instantly.
It remains the most promising long-term defense. But as the threat analysis concludes, it is nascent, highly complex, and unproven against a determined state-level adversary.
We have covered a massive amount of highly technical, concerning ground. We've talked about unscrubbed memory, shattered isolation barriers, leaky interconnections, trivial software escapes, physical Rowhammer attacks, network timing leaks, and the flaws in the ultimate hardware defenses.
It is easy to feel entirely paralyzed by this threat landscape. We need to focus on what this actually means for operations today. What can you actually do with this information?
This is where Krister Hedfer's presentation from March 2026 provides immense value. He takes all this academic research and translates it into operational strategy. Hedfer establishes a golden rule for modern AI architecture. For sensitive AI workloads, tenancy choice is a primary security control, not just a cost control.
Historically, deciding between a shared server and a dedicated server was a decision made by the finance department based on budget. Shared is cheaper, dedicated is expensive.
Hedfors is arguing that the security and risk teams need to be making that decision.
If you have highly sensitive data, the monthly cost savings of sharing a GPU instance are completely dwarfed by the catastrophic financial and reputational risk of a cross-tenant data breach.
Hedfors outlines a clear decision matrix, breaking AI workloads down into four distinct tiers of tenancy based strictly on data sensitivity. Tier one is for public data. This is your standard non-sensitive workload. Maybe you are fine-tuning an open-source model on publicly available Wikipedia articles or running basic sentiment analysis on public social media feeds.
For Tier 1, a shared GPU environment is perfectly fine. The risk of memory leakage doesn't matter because the data is already public.
The only real requirement here is ensuring baseline security patching is fast to prevent an attacker from using your workload container as a stepping stone to attack the broader host infrastructure.
Tier 2 is for confidential data. This is internal company data that isn't publicly known but wouldn't cause a massive existential crisis or regulatory fine if leaked. Think about internal coding assistants, analyzing standard application code, AI summarizing non-critical internal meeting notes, or drafting standard marketing copy.
For Tier 2, you still want to share hardware to save money, but you require hardware partitioning. This is where you demand NVIDIA MIG or virtual GPU isolation.
But as we learned from the tunnels for bootlegging research, MIG isn't perfect. So Hedfors adds that Tier 2 requires strict counter restrictions, meaning the cloud provider must disable those performance counters used in the NVBLEED attack, and you must run continuous leakage testing. You have to actively monitor the infrastructure for side channel activity.
Moving up the sensitivity scale, Tier 3 is regulated data. The landscape completely changes here. We are talking about personally identifiable information, high PA-protected patient health records, highly proprietary financial algorithms, or unreleased intellectual property.
For Tier 3 data, Hedfors states that you must demand dedicated GPU tenancy, meaning you are the only customer running code on that specific physical silicon chip.
No MIG sharing, no slicing the memory. You own the entire chip for the duration of the workload. This physically eliminates the leftover locals memory residue attacks and the MIG TLB bypasses, simply because there is no malicious co-tenant on the chip to read your leftover data or monitor your memory caches.
You still have to worry about the host machine and the network, but you have fortified the primary compute engine.
Finally, Tier 4 is for what Hedfors calls the crown jewels. This is reserved for state secrets, massive cryptographic key generation, or the foundational training of a multi-billion-dollar proprietary model where the weights themselves are the company's entire valuation.
For Tier 4, you demand a dedicated host and a dedicated accelerator. No untrusted co-tenants allowed whatsoever. You rent the entire physical server rack. You control the CPU, the multiple GPUs, the PCIe bus, and the NVLink fabric.
You essentially build an air-gapped fortress inside the cloud provider's data center. And you pair that physical isolation with confidential computing protocols to protect against the cloud provider's own infrastructure administrators. It is the most expensive option by a massive margin, but it is the only architecture that mathematically and physically mitigates the threats we've explored today.
To summarize the actionable checklist for you, first, inventory where your models are actually running. Do you even know if your enterprise AI is on a shared GPU?
Second, map your specific workload sensitivity to a strict tenancy policy. Do not put Tier 3 regulated health data on a Tier 1 shared public instance to save a few bucks.
Third, continuously test your infrastructure. Ask your cloud provider for hard evidence of their memory scrubbing policies.
And finally, absolutely do not assume that software container boundaries will save you from hardware-level side channels. It is about moving from a blind assumption of security to an architecture of verifiable physical isolation.
We have traversed a massive and frankly alarming landscape today. We started with the memory residue of leftover locals, realizing that GPUs, by design, often just leave our secrets lying around in unscrubbed local memory.
We saw how the supposedly impenetrable walls of NVIDIA's MIG isolation were shattered by researchers exploiting shared translation look-aside buffers and hardware rendering engines.
We moved into the plumbing, looking at how the massive data pipes of NVLink and unencrypted PCIe buses allow attackers to eavesdrop on entire models, even across strict virtual machine boundaries.
We discussed the terrifying reality of three-line Docker container escapes, like NVidia Escape, rendering all complex hardware isolation moot by simply breaking the software bridge.
We shifted from confidentiality to integrity, looking at how a physical rowhammer attack on a GPU memory chip can flip a single FP16 exponent bit, causing terminal brain damage and silently destroying an AI model's accuracy.
We explored how remote attackers don't even need to be in the data center, using interpacket network timing over encrypted HTTPS connections to accurately identify the language of an LLM query.
We examined the industry's great hope, confidential computing. While it offers powerful encryption and hardware roots of trust, it demands an unauditable blind trust in proprietary closed-source firmware and relies on underlying CPU architectures that are continually plagued by their own critical vulnerabilities.
The convenience, scalability, and cost-effectiveness of multi-tenant GPU sharing is economically irresistible to the cloud industry. But the research reality is starkly clear. For truly sensitive, highly regulated workloads, physical isolation paying a premium for dedicated hardware is currently the only absolute defensible security posture.
It is a profound reality check. The cloud is just someone else's computer, and right now the architecture of that computer is incredibly leaky.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you to mull over as you go about your day. We are currently rushing to integrate these massive, civilization-altering AI models into every facet of our lives. Our hospitals, our power grids, our financial systems, and our national defense. But if the bedrock of this new era is built on closed-source firmware and hardware architectures that fundamentally prioritize blinding speed over the protection of secrets, are we building our future digital infrastructure on a foundation of sand? What happens when a catastrophic zero-day hardware vulnerability cannot be patched with a simple software update? The next time you hit enter to send a highly confidential prompt to a cloud-based AI, take a second to ask yourself, who else is in the physical room with your data? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the defaults and stay curious.